We're continuing in our study on the names of God. We began many weeks ago. And we have seen how the Lord, if he didn't reveal himself to us, we wouldn't know anything about him. And he's revealed his name to us in many different ways through the scriptures. We began in the Old Testament. We saw how he began revealing himself as God. And then there were compound names of God we looked at. Then he revealed himself to us as the Lord. And there were some areas where he used all caps, and there were areas where he used the name Jehovah and compound names of Jehovah. Now, today, we're going to begin looking at five Hebrew-only Jehovah compound names, and the first one is found in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. In this particular chapter, the children of Israel had just been led by God out of Egypt. And they've crossed the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and his host have been thrown into the Red Sea, and Moses is singing a song of praise and worship unto the Lord. And after he's done singing this song, the Lord speaks to him in verse 25 and 26. And I want you to look at verse 26, and here's what the Lord says. He says to Moses and to the people of Israel, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now in English it's the Lord that healeth. In the Hebrew we find it's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Now, I want to take a look at the concept of the Lord and healing because it's something that's very dear to our hearts. As a matter of fact, one of the favorite psalms, I often ask people, what's your favorite psalm? And the one I hear the most is Psalm 103. I hear that one a lot. So turn to Psalm 103. I just want to look at the first three verses of it. And then I want to talk a little about the Lord and his promise of healing. Psalm 103. I find this is a favorite of many people. It's a psalm of David. It starts out with a beautiful verse. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then it's going to list a number of benefits. And look at the verse 3. It says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And there are a number of other benefits in this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. People love this psalm. And it says, "The Lord healeth all thy diseases." Now we saw him promise to the people of Israel right after they had left Egypt that he would put none of these diseases upon them, that he would heal them. Now, did the Lord keep that promise? I wonder. Well, turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. This is a psalm that describes God's providence and care of his people. And in this particular psalm, we'll look at a few verses. Look at verses 26 and 27. And looking at how God has worked in the life of the Jewish people. And he says here in 26, "He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham." In other words, God gave them miracle-working power. And they came to the Jewish people that were captive in Israel, in Egypt. The Jewish people were captive there. And he gave Moses and Aaron signs and wonders and powers and miracle-working power. And they worked their miracles before the people. And the people saw it. And also they worked miracles upon the Egyptians, which were judgments against their gods. And diseases were brought upon them, and plagues were brought upon them. And they're described in some of the verses here. Skip down to verses 36 and 37. "He," the Lord, "smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength." So the last judgment that God brought upon the Egyptian people was he slayed the firstborn on the night of the Passover. Now, anybody could have been spared that judgment had they taken the blood and applied it to their door, but the Egyptians didn't believe what God said, and they didn't pay attention, and the Jewish people believed, and they put the blood on the door, and the Lord's death angel passed over every house that had blood, but the houses that didn't have blood, the firstborn was killed. And this was a judgment of God brought upon them. And then he brought the people forth, verse 37, "He brought them forth also with silver and gold." So now they leave Egypt, and they are given the wages for all the years they served as slaves. And now they're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and it says this, And there was not, end of verse 37, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. In other words, what God had done was he brought them out, and he brought them out with health. And he took care of them and divinely watched out for them for the 40 years. Later on, the priest and prophet Nehemiah says, "Yea, 40 years thou didst sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." Now you think you're walking 40 years out there in the desert, and you're not able to go down to the local shoe store and change your sneakers, and for 40 years, you know what happens? You get edema, is what happens. The common condition in hot desert climates like that is to get edema. Because what happens is, as you drink the water, and your blood thins out a little bit, and the hemoglobin goes down, then you get edema in the legs. They didn't have edema. They didn't have diseases. They didn't have any feeble people. They were able to go for 40 years with God providentially taking care of them. He said that they came out of Egypt, that he would put no diseases upon them, and for 40 years, he took care of them. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you that there was a truth to what God did for these people 40 years, but what happened to them after the 40-year period? And I want to study some good doctrine in the Word of God, so turn back to Deuteronomy. Exodus is the first time the law is given, but Deuteronomy chapter, the entire book of Deuteronomy, turn to chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going to see how the Lord, Deutero means second, and Nomi is law, and this is the second giving of the law, and this is given after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and they're getting ready to enter the promised land, and notice what the Lord says. And the Lord's speaking through his prophet Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1, Moses says this, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou." Saying, okay, now we're getting ready to enter the promised land, folks. We've been wandering for 40 years. God has taken care of all our provision. He's done everything for us. Now it's time to enter the promised land. God's going to cast these people out of the land for us and allow us to move into the land. And when he does this, skip down to verse 14. "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle." In other words, every woman will have the ability to bring forth life. Every female cattle will have the ability to bring forth life. That's what they're made to do. Verse 15, "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." So God says, I'm going to take disease, I'm going to take all sickness, I'm not going to allow it on any of your people in the land when you get into the promised land, I'm going to put it on other people, but not upon you. All right, that's nice. I like that promise. But it's curious. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll find there were sick people in the land of Israel. There were people that had all kinds of illnesses. Children dying, you read about it in 1 Kings. You'll read about people that had leprosy. What is going on there? How did this all happen? Well, we need to study the doctrine a little more carefully. I want you to see something about what God just said between verse 1 and verse 14 and 15 has a number of conditions in between there. This is going to be a conditional promise. This is not unconditional. This is like the kind of thing when you go to buy a new car, you know, and you go buy the new car and then you get this owner's manual with it. And in the owner's manual, it tells you, you need to have this car serviced at 3,000 miles and 10,000 miles and 15,000 miles. And if you do this properly, the car will run fine. Look at the conditions that are mentioned in here. And it starts in the second verse. "When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee," these are the nations that were terrible, that were idolatrous, "thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now notice there are conditions all through there. In order to get the blessing of having no disease, they had to keep those conditions. Verse number one. First thing I want you to notice in verse number one, it says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land. You can underline that, into the land. This is a conditional promise. I'm giving you doctrine from the Bible that God's giving that deals with the nation of Israel in the promised land. He didn't say he would do this if they were in Assyria, or they were in Babylon, or they were in New York City. He said in the land, the first condition, in the land. They must stay in the land. That's where the presence of God is. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was one place, at Jerusalem, at the Shekinah glory. You want to get to know God? You get to Israel. Queen of Sheba had to travel to Israel. The promise is in the land, first condition. Second promise, verse number two, condition, second condition. Utterly destroy the wicked. I don't want the wicked in there. Why? I'm God. I'm residing in there. I don't like sin around me. Condition number three, verse number three. Neither shalt thou marry. No intermarrying. I don't want my sons of Israel marrying foreign women, and I don't want my daughters of Israel marrying foreign men. No outlandish women. No outlandish men. The condition is no intermarriage. Next condition, verse number four. He's telling you, the problem is that marriage will make them turn away from me. I want you to steadfastly follow me. That's implied there. He wants them to steadfastly stay after the true and the living God, not all the false gods that were out there, not all the polytheism and idolatry that existed until God brought the law to Moses and showed what the people of the world, this is the true God. See, if God doesn't reveal himself, we wouldn't know anything about him. We'd go back to totem poles and statues. But God reveals himself and he says, now look it, I want you to stay steadfast after me in verse 4. Verse number 5 also, I want you to break down their altars, break down their images. I don't want idolatry in this land. Now, there is no land today. I mean, there are small little assemblies called churches, but God doesn't want idols inside his churches. He doesn't want images and statues and things like that in his churches. And he didn't want it in the land. This is one of the conditions given to the Jewish people. And then the next thing, verse 6, thou art an holy people, you stay holy. Now, if they would have kept all those conditions, if they'd stay in the land, if they would destroy the wicked, if they would not intermarry, if they'd continue steadfast after the Lord, if they'd break down all idolatry, and they'd stay holy, you know what? Then verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass, circle the word if ye hearken to these judgments, then verse 14, thou shalt be blessed. Verse 15, I won't give you evil diseases. What are they supposed to do? The what is if. Stay. Do everything. If they do it. Where? Again, he tells you in verse 13, end of verse 13, in the land which he swear unto thy fathers. The what and the where. Do what I say, where I say it, and we have a good conditional bilateral agreement here. You do your part, I will do mine. You will not get sick. All right. What happened? Well, the Jewish people failed to keep their side of the covenant. We shouldn't look surprised. All we like sheep have gone astray. Mm-hmm. And in the same book that says that, turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and see what happens 700 years later when God calls the prophet Isaiah to speak to the people. Isaiah chapter 1. We'll look at verses 2 through 6. God speaking through Isaiah the prophet. He says in Isaiah 1, verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Why will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. They had diseases. They were sick by now. Because they turned against God. Well, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. All your medicines aren't going to work. You're sick because you've turned from me. You've broken the bilateral conditional covenant that I established with you way back when you entered the promised land in Deuteronomy. And so they suffer illness and disease and plague and pestilence. And that had been going on for a long time. For a long time. Basically, what had happened was they had lost the kingdom promises, the kingdom of heaven promises offered to the land of Israel, where God promised to take the kingdom of heaven and put it right in the land of Israel, where God himself would be the ruler right there in Israel. And they had turned from it, and they lost those kingdom promises. Now, thankfully, not every covenant in the Bible is bilateral. Some are unilateral. For example, the covenant of salvation. God did all the work. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God did the work at Calvary. All you need to do is receive Jesus as your Savior. But this is a bilateral. Bi means a two, and lateral is side. It's a two-sided covenant. God was going to do his part if, like he said in verse 12, if you do your part. They didn't do their part. They got sick. They lost those kingdom promises. They ended up getting diseased just like every other person on the planet Earth. 7 centuries pass. And turn to Matthew, the New Testament. You know, God has blessings for us, and so often we are unable to receive them because of things we do. Salvation is a one-sided agreement, but there are two-sided agreements. And we've got to do our part. Now God, in his love and in his mercy, is going to try and restore the kingdom to Israel 7 centuries after Isaiah. And we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Yes, Judea, which should have been rich with the blessings of God, was a wilderness. It's a sad phrase. And John preaches in verse 2 saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now the prophet preaches the kingdom of heaven's at hand. God wants to restore the kingdom to the nation Israel. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the king comes and confirms the preaching. 4:17. And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The king has come. You know, there can't be a kingdom without a king. You know what I mean? I mean, anybody think they have a kingdom without a king? It doesn't make any sense. There's no one on the throne. Israel had thrown God off the throne. God had taken the Shekinah glory and drawn it back into heaven. And his people were in the wilderness for 700 years. And now the king returns, this time as a man. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. And the kingdom is coming back. And watch what the king is able to do. Chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Notice the most important thing is to teach. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and to preach. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. I mean, it spread beyond the borders of Egypt. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. It mentions all kinds of illness there. Possessed with devils, that's spirit. Those that were lunatic, their soul is troubled. Those that had the palsy, that's a neurologic, physical. Spirit, soul, and body, they're sick every which way. And Jesus is taking care of all of them. Because the king can restore the kingdom. And during the 3.5 year ministry that Jesus was here, he healed people, multitudes of people. His enemies and his adversaries could not deny the miracles that he did. They were right before their eyes. They didn't like it. They wanted to ascribe the power to someone else, to Beelzebub, but he was working mightily, mightily. It was no Benny Hinn healing crusade. Okay? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ would heal people of the word that was across town, like the centurion's servant. I mean, he had power. The king was here. And the kingdom was at hand. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you, because they're going to reject him. And they're going to say, crucify him. And the kingdom is going to move into abeyance again. And the kingdom moved off the track when Jesus Christ was put on the cross and they rejected him. And now he began a new work, which is the church. And so what I want to do is I want to show some good doctrine before I can really teach about healing as it is in the Bible, and show you the difference between Israel, which we've been reading about, and the church. Put it in red because the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. Now, what you want to understand these things, because this will help you in rightly dividing the word of truth. Because there's confusion today about healing. And we need to rightly divide the word to understand it. Now, we understand that Israel was in which testament predominantly? What's the Old Testament? But the church is a New Testament being. The church was given after Jesus shed his blood for the New Testament. There was no church in the Old Testament. The church is the body of Christ. We understand from reading the scriptures, for example, Genesis chapter 17, Romans chapter 9, verse 7, that Israel is Abraham's physical sons. And we read that in both Old and New Testament. But the church, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, we are Abraham's spiritual seed. I'm a spiritual seed of Father Abraham that dwelt and knew God according to faith. I have come by faith to God. I am therefore of the seed of Abraham spiritually. I have no physical relationship to him at all. I'm Italian American. Abraham was a Semite. He was a Jew. I have no relation. So I'm a member of the church. I'm a spiritual seed of Abraham, but not physical one. We saw earlier that Israel had to dwell in the land. And that's all throughout the Old Testament, beginning in Exodus, through Deuteronomy, the Kings, the Chronicles, wherever you read. But we see that Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and 15 regarding the church is to go into all the world. Correct? That's our job. The Queen of Sheba doesn't have to come to Israel anymore to learn about God. We have to go to the Queen of Sheba and tell her about God. We're to go preach the gospel to every creature. So we're not residing in one physical place anymore. So it's apparent that Israel is a physical nation. Now, I often hear confused teaching that the United States is like the nation of God today. And it's a blessing that we have many Christians that came to this nation, and many of the founding fathers were Christians. But Peter makes it very, you know, plain and clear in 1 Peter chapter 2 that the church is a spiritual and a holy nation. And holy spiritual nation. The nation of the New Testament is the church. It is spiritual. It is worldwide. It is true that I, Mike Caesar, as a person born in the United States of America, I have a citizenship for a physical land, the United States of America. But when I took Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became a member of heaven. I now have a spiritual citizenship to heaven that transcends it. I'm part of the spiritual holy nation known as the church. And that goes on all around the world. There are Christians in Ethiopia, Christians in Asia. It's a spiritual nation. Now, we saw in Deuteronomy that they were promised physical blessings. And one of the best places you'll see it, it's spoken in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. They're virtually parallel chapters. But Deuteronomy 28, the Lord goes through there and he enunciates in verses 1 through 14 all the blessings that will come to the nation Israel as long as they follow him. And then the rest of the chapter, he enunciates all the curses that will come upon them if they do not follow him. They have physical blessings. However, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, you might want to turn there, chapter 1, the church is a little different. Unlike Israel, given physical blessings. This is what we're given in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is the great epistle about the unity of the church. And here God wants to teach what he's doing in the church, and he says this to the church, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now notice, it's to everybody. I want you to see this. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, watch it, comma, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's you and me. That epistle's not only to a local church, it's to anyone that takes Jesus Christ as their Savior. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's you and me. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, what kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings. We have spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Now, this is the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to take a look. We're going to go a little bit. I'm going to show you practical application. Right now, I'm showing you doctrine. Remember, any passage of Scripture, three applications. Doctrine, spiritual, and historic. There's a historical application, God, who we were speaking to at the time. There's a spiritual application, which can be practical to you and me in our lives. And there's a doctrinal or prophetic application, which will speak forward. This book speaks forward in time. This book covers all time. It came out of eternity. Past, present, and future. So three applications. We're looking at the doctrinal applications right here. And we are seeing that we have spiritual blessings. So what do we see? What does the church have? The church has something that the Jewish people did not have in the Old Testament. The church has the new birth and the indwelling spirit. This is a gift. This is our great spiritual gift, the new birth and the indwelling spirit. They have no new birth. They have no indwelling spirit. Let me give you an example for that. Well, for the first place you'll see it for us in John chapter 14, if you want to turn there real quickly. John chapter 14. Lord Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. It's before his crucifixion. He's giving a phenomenal teaching here called the Upper Room Discourse. About 3 to 4 chapters where he is just loading them with all kinds of good teaching and doctrine. First time he tells anybody about going to heaven. Because these were Jewish men. They expected to inherit the kingdom on planet Earth. And he tells them in John 14, look, I go to my Father's house, prepare a place for you where I am. There you'll be also. I'm going to take you out of this world. This is new stuff. And he's teaching some new things. And in the same chapter, he says in the 14th chapter, verses 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. In other words, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth, and he's going to abide with you forever. You're going to have the new birth in the indwelling spirit. They never had that. They could lose the Holy Spirit. David prays in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It says that the Spirit departed from Saul. The Spirit could leave in the Old Testament. It could abide with someone, but never in them. Notice how he says in the same verse, 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, watch it, for he dwelleth with you. Right there at that point, Jesus had not been glorified. So all the Holy Spirit was doing was dwelling side by side with the apostles. He dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. After I'm glorified, and I give that Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he can live inside you. He's going to be indwelling. The new birth in the indwelling spirit, that's the church. These Jewish men had interesting. They passed from Old Testament to New Testament. They started out as Old Testament disciples waiting for the kingdom of heaven, and they walked into the New Testament era of the church, and they got the new birth. And so they had an interesting transition. So I want to show you. So the thing is, the Old Testament Jews received physical healing if they obeyed the covenant, and they awaited their spiritual healing. Turn back to John chapter 7. I want to show you how God does things in mirror images, how God inverts things, how God turns things inside out, why his ways are above our ways. And unless we read them and study them carefully, we will be confused. And there's great confusion between Israel and the church. When I watch Christian TV, I can't believe some of the things I hear. Confusion. John chapter 7. Here he is at the Feast of the Tabernacles, and he's teaching them, and they're going to the water. And he says this in verse 37, 7:37. In the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood, and he cried. That's his preaching, like a town crier. He's saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall, future, flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should, future, receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. They were still in the Old Testament dispensation. The best they could do was have the Holy Spirit walk. If they obeyed, they couldn't have them inside. They couldn't get the new birth until Jesus is glorified. And then the church age would begin. So the Jews could have physical healing, and they were getting it. Jesus was healing people left and right, but they couldn't have their spiritual healing. They were awaiting that. But the church, we have spiritual healing, but we await physical healing. How do I know that? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you the principle, then I'll give you the practice and show you what God does. Romans chapter 8. Now, Romans chapter 8, obviously this great, great epistle, Romans, and in the 8th chapter, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are born again people. We've received the Spirit of God. We cry, Abba, Father, verse 15. You've not received the spirit of bondage, again unto fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth itself with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. We're waiting for something. We're waiting for something. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, people were sick. Paul got sick. People that came and ministered to him got sick. The sufferings are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's waiting for that. Why? Verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also. Those of us who are saved, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We've got our spiritual healing. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Jesus said, it is within you. I'm going to give you spiritual healing first and work it from the inside out. And when I give you, at the second coming, I will give you the new body and you'll get your physical healing. So the principle is this, to separate it between Jew and church, Israel and the church, the Christian. Okay, get this. The Jew gets physical health before he gets his spiritual health. 3.5 years, Jesus gave him physical health. And they had to wait to get their spiritual health. And the church gets spiritual health before it gets physical health. From the time the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, he's been pouring out his spirit unto all flesh, anyone that will come to him and receive him as Savior, that will confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he'll pour the Spirit upon them, in them. When will they get the physical health? Well, at the Lord's return, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, then shall our vile body be changed into like glorious body unto his. Colossians 3, 4, that's when we get the complete physical health. So if we expect the promise of Exodus 15 or Deuteronomy 7 to apply to us, we're out of our dispensation. It doesn't apply. Folks, you're not going to, we're not going to get that physical healing like the Jewish people got in the land, because there's no bilateral such covenant given to us. The first and the second coming make a big difference. Go back to Psalm 103. I want to show you something. You know, Jesus once upbraided some of the teachers of the law. He says, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You can't tell the difference between the first coming and the second coming. Go to Psalm 103. We've taught briefly on this, and I'm going to have to move on because I want to make a few points about healing and see what the Lord does. Let me just show you something. If you read the Bible properly and divide it properly, let me show you this. You want to see these benefits that the Lord gives? Watch verse number 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know what part A is? Forgiveth all thine iniquities at the first coming. Healeth all thy diseases at the second coming. See the division? Very simple. Very simple. Next verse. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Have you been redeemed from destruction and perdition? You bet you have. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Have you gotten your crowns yet? I haven't. I get them at the second coming. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? I've got good things to eat down here. I still get sick. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I know old people can eat all the good things they want. They're not going to get young. Guess what happens at the second coming? First coming, second coming, first coming, second coming, first coming, second coming. There's dividing the word of truth. Now, let me show you something. But God still has mercy for us today. And he understands, although these bodies are corruptible, and although they'll be laid aside one day and we'll get an incorruptible, gorgeous body, just like Jesus Christ's resurrection body, he still has principles at work to help us and to give us healing today. Let me show them to you quickly. Let me show you God's principles for health today. The Lord still does heal all our diseases. If anybody gets sick of any disease, the Lord did it. If you don't get sick of the disease, the Lord didn't allow the healing. But if you did get better, the Lord allowed it. And if you use his principles, you'll get better faster. And he's got good principles that he gives throughout the scriptures. The first one's found right here in the fifth verse. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You want principles as a Christian to get some of God's health, to let God work? The first thing is, eat good food. Folks, there's a lot of bad food out there. Obesity is a problem in America. You know why? There's a lot of fast fried foods out there. Obesity has increased 300% in the past couple decades. We now have children. They did a study, a pathology study, on motor vehicle accidents, and they found children 8 years old, as early as 8 years old, with fatty streaks in the coronary arteries. That's an old man's disease. How's that happen? They have bacon and eggs in the morning. They get a neck McMuffin for lunch. They go over to McDonald's for this. You can't eat that kind of food. It's going to destroy you. Eat good food. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. What kind of good things? Genesis 1, what did he give them in the garden? He gave them fruit. He gave them vegetables. He gave them whole grains. He gave them herbs. He said, this shall be meat for thy soul. Later on, after the flood, there was nothing to eat. He says, okay, look, I realize it took a few years to get the plants going again. You can eat some meat. Don't do it to excess. Good basic principles. Satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Food is important. Eat good food and avoid bad food. Some people, instead of drinking juice and water, live on soda pop. Soft drinks are not soft on the body. They're very hard. We had a guy at the hospital who was into this kick of just drinking soda pop. We had to admit him for dehydration and put an IV in him. Those things dehydrate you. The sodium content is so high you lose water with them. Now, thankfully, if a person eats some fruits and vegetables, they get some water out of them. This guy was drinking so much soda pop and potato chips, we had to admit him, had to give him an IV, got him all better, told him not to do it again. He was back about 4 months later. Eat good food, avoid bad food. By the way, the Lord showed the people in Leviticus chapter 7 and chapter 11 what bad foods are. People like shrimp, and they like, what are these, scallops, and they like a lobster. Those are all scavenger animals full of parasites. They like pork. He said, don't eat pork. Don't eat those kinds of things. Eat the fish that has scales and fins. Okay? Eat lamb. Eat good foods. Avoid bad foods. Simple principles for health. Another thing the Bible talks about, Psalm 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2, he giveth his beloved sleep. Proverbs 3, verse 24, thy sleep shall be sweet. You know, God knows that we need rest. He's given us a day of rest. You shouldn't be working 7 days a week. You got to take some time off. And you need some time at night to close your eyes and to rest and to sleep. No 4 or 5 hour nights. Okay, once in a while. But you need rest. It's important for the body to regenerate and rejuvenate and the hormones to work and the tissues to be rebuilt and the toxins to be detoxified by the liver and the kidneys. That's when they work. Other things God's given us. Doctors. Doctors. You know what Jesus said? The whole need not a physician, but the sick too. God has given wisdom of the human body to certain people and knowledge of the body. And God uses doctors. I can tell you, I'm a physician, a medical doctor. I work in an OR. I see God at work through the hands of those doctors. He doesn't even know they're working. The doctors are like Job. You know, he goeth to my left, goeth to my right. I can't even see him. He's working. God is at work through the hands of doctors. Say, I don't know if the doctor's any good. You just pray about it. Say, Lord, I'm going to this doctor. I'm trusting. Give him wisdom for what he's doing with me. And God will work through the doctors. These are his tools to minister to a fleshy body. A body that he knows is going to corrupt. He's going to change it one day. But for now, he has mercy. And he uses them. He uses them. There are good ones. There are bad ones. Pray about it. Ask for referrals. God uses them. Jesus said, the sick, they need a physician. He uses them. Another thing God uses, medicine. You know what it says in the book of Proverbs 17:22? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Two things do good, merry hearts and medicine. Not medicine to excess, but when it's needed. He said in Ezekiel, the leaf shall be for the medicine. God has put medicines into nature. The pharmaceutical companies get probably 50%+ of all the drugs they use from nature. That's all they are. They extract them from roots and from barks and from leaves, and they process them and purify them, and they might tweak a chemical here and there, but that's basically what you're getting. Where do the antibiotics come from? They come from nature. God has put medicines out there to help. Now the problem is, the majority of people spend all their time here. And they don't eat any good food. And they don't avoid bad food. And they don't get the rest they need. And let me show you something else that will give you help. And this is very surprising. I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Right after Psalms. Because there are other things that we can get as Christians that I believe the lost people can't get. And because we have the wisdom of this book, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now we love verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Okay, watch this. 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's physical health. You'll get physical health by spending time in the Bible. That's wisdom. Verse 1, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments, length of days. That's what you'll get from reading the Bible. The Bible will give you health. Let me show you how that works, the Bible and health. We just saw in those verses, if we obey it, depart from evil, that'll lead to health. It shall be health. Look in chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Chapter 4. My son, a child of God, a son of God? Okay, he's talking to you. Attend to my words. That's the Bible. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. If you just read, obeying the Bible will give you help. Just reading the Bible will give you health, he says right here. Just reading it, and it'll give you health. And then he tells you in chapters 12 and 13 and 16, just hearing the Bible will give you health. Just hearing it. What does that mean? Come to a church service. Listen to Christian radio where there's a teacher. Get a Bible tape. You know, you got somebody that's sick, you can put a Bible tape on. That'll do. There was a missionary's wife that got sick overseas, and she got spinal meningitis, and that meningitis worked its way up the spinal cord into the brain, and the doctors thought she was going to die, and he went to the doctor, and he said, can I please just get these Bible tapes and play them near her head 24 hours a day just constantly? And they did that, and she recovered. Now, I know the medicine probably worked too, but let me tell you, it never hurts to read the Bible to someone that's sick. God says that the Bible will restore health. Remember, you are more spirit than you are physical. You ever hear of psychosomatic illness? This is psychosomatic health. Psyche means soul. Soma is body. It's soul to body, not just illness, but soul to body health. And if you read these spiritual words, it'll give health to you. Another thing that James says will give you health, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, prayer. Prayer. Remember, we're spiritual beings. The world doesn't know this, but we know this. God has put things in here to help us to have healing. Look, if the world's only got 2 out of 6 so far, we're way ahead of them. They're going to doctors and medicines. Everything is a pill and a shot and an operation. If we'll follow these principles, God will do tremendous things with us. Keep us healthy. James chapter 5, verses 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Verse 14. Is any sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. God says if we pray, he'll begin to move. And the last thing is a principle that's found in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 8, and it's fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 8. And then we'll wind it up and I'll show you. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 8. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. There are spiritual benefits from fasting. But watch this, verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, so you help to share food by not taking it yourself? When thou seest the naked, and thy cover him, and thy hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Verse 8. Then, you fast like that, shall thy light break forth, spiritual as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. There's a physical benefit to fasting. It gives the body a chance to detoxify, a chance to catch its breath. Someday just taking a one-day fruit fast. Okay? This way, all the heavy concentrated foods aren't in, but fruit's 90% water. And just enough sugar to keep the brain going. And fruit juices. And just a fast like that. Those kind of things. Now, so what have we learned today? We've learned that the Lord has the power and the ability to heal all diseases. For the Jews, when the kingdom of heaven was there in the land, he did it as long as they obeyed the covenant. When Jesus was here for 3.5 years as the king, he did it. When they rejected him, a new dispensation began with the church. We have our spiritual healing. We await the ultimate physical healing. But we can take these principles and live a better life right now and be stronger in the Lord. You know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And maybe we need to strengthen it a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, the reality is, all healing in a Christian's body is temporal. Our final and complete healing comes at death. Then we get complete healing. We get the new body. So that's what we learned today. Yes, the Lord does heal, but now we see how. It's not through the healing services, and it's not through so-called healers putting their hands on you. It's nothing like that. It's following these principles simply and waiting for the King to return. And when he comes, we'll get the new body. Isn't that good? Let's thank him. Lord, we thank you so much for this spiritual healing. The fact that our souls have been healed. The fact that we no longer have to fear death. The fact that we no longer have to be afraid of sudden fears. The fact that perfect love casts out fear. Thank you for the great love you've had for us, Lord. Thank you for the plan that you revealed to us in the scriptures. Help us, Lord. We have good news for people. Help us to go forth and tell them that good news. And then, Lord, help us to apply some of these principles today. Maybe it'll help us to be a little stronger for thee so we can go out and to win more of these people to Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.